Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we are joined once again on a Friday edition of The Scoop by Dan Slabov on the Prowl, talking a little NBA Finals, plus we'll throw in a little Timberwolves nuggets as well. Dan, happy Friday.
What up, Seth? I have a question for you.
Sure.
So, Seth, if Kevin Durant did not choose to join the Golden State Warriors, what would the series be right now? And would LeBron have two NBA Finals titles over Golden State's one, or would nothing have changed?
Wow. Man, that's a great question. Flipping it on the host here today. You know, I'll say for this series, I think it would be 2-1. I think Golden State would still be on top. I think that Cleveland would have won game three. I think they would have come very close to winning game one, but I still think it would be 2-1, Golden State on top. This is a fascinating question, because without Durant, I would think that Cleveland's probably would have come away with another title. We're gonna come back to that one. I'll formulate a better response. But you just hit the pull-up three right in front of me and absolutely absolutely have me reeling here. So I'm gonna come up with a better response, and we will revisit this one at the end of the segment. But that's a great question to start here today. And let's talk a little bit about the NBA Finals here to start. The Warriors on the brink of closing things out. They have a 3-0 lead after winning the first game in Cleveland by a score of 110-102. Simple question, Dan, is the series over tonight?
Series is over tonight. Although I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland pulled away with one. You know, we've seen last year, and of course, last year Cleveland had Kyrie Irving, but game four is a game where, you know, if one of the teams is up 3-0, that team is just going to have, they're the furthest away from having their backs against the wall. They want to come out with urgency to finish it, but it's not always that easy. And of course, it's win or go home for the team down 3-0. That team's playing with all the fire in the world, and the team out 3-0 is, you know, feeling pretty comfortable and feeling pretty good about themselves, considering they've won three straight, and all they have to do is win one of the next four. And Cleveland, they play like a different team at home, and so I would not be shocked if they won tonight, but it just, as we've seen, Seth, the margin of error for Golden State is just so, so large. Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, combined for, I can't even remember, maybe it was barely over 20 points in Game 3. And because Kevin Durant scored 40-plus, that allowed Golden State to, you know, sneak past Cleveland. And that was a game where Cleveland had about 36 points, or there's 33 points from their bench in the first half alone. The Cleveland bench showed up. So they were receiving contributions around LeBron. I think the game really showed how valuable Andre Iguodala is guarding LeBron James. LeBron is going to get his 25-plus nightly, especially on stages like this. The goal is to keep him from scoring 45 plus or 40 plus, and Andre Iguodala's mastered that. He's done that for that's been his job for four straight NBA Finals, and I don't know if I would feel more comfortable with anybody else in the league besides Andre in a big situation with all the experience he's had defending LeBron. LeBron, he still went up for, 29, 14, and 8, just absurd numbers, but because LeBron set the bar so high for himself, it didn't seem like he had a phenomenal game. And for them to be competitive in the series, he has to be historic nearly every night. I'm personally, as Kevin Durant would say, blog boy, I am extremely eager to see Kevin Durant to see Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry create their legacies apart from each other. I think Kevin Durant, he has got the verification that he is one of the top players in the league now. I mean, he was at that point, but now he's got his championship. He's one of the best players of all time, probably a top 15 player, maybe top 10 player of all time. I don't understand, if I'm Kevin Durant, I want to go, I want to go have my own team, lead my own team again, and kind of be the face of my city, wherever it takes me. And I think he's got his championships. That's what he came to Golden State for. And I really want to see him go somewhere else. It's funny because Golden State is a pretty unlikable ball club at this point. Maybe I'm not speaking for everybody, but I feel like that's a general consensus around NBA fans, is that they're sick of Golden State and their four all-stars and how incredibly lucky and also how strategic their front office is at the same point is impressive. Without Stephen Curry hurting his ankles the year before his contract, he would have probably earned a max or near the max, but instead his ankles kind of turned him down, so that it kind of held him back to a smaller contract, which then allowed Kevin Durant to sign with Golden State, which would also have never happened if there wasn't a huge cap spike in the offseason. So they drafted, they drafted great with Curry, Thompson, and Green, and then got lucky with Curry's ankles failing him for a couple months for of a season, and then with the cap spike during the 16 offseason, and those two things combined allowed Golden State to form this quartet of star players that has allowed them obviously to dominate the NBA. And of course, Houston was one win away from winning the Western Conference Finals, but it would have just taken absolutely everything to go right for Houston to win, and because it just didn't, they could not quite get it done. And so that's kind of where we are. I'm really hoping for a change, because this series would just be so much fun, I believe, if Kevin Durant was elsewhere. I really wish we could see a Cavs or Warriors finals again without Durant on Golden State, because they're just too much talent, and the chemistry there is obviously phenomenal, and it's just too hard to beat right now. And then for a guy who's looking for a more competitive finals, this isn't definitely, while it was precedented, it wasn't, what fans were hoping for.
I'm hoping out for Kevin Durant going to the Clippers and LeBron going to the Lakers, so that those two can square off for who owns Los Angeles. But I don't know if I'll get either of those. I mean, it is interesting, because this could be the last game in Cleveland for LeBron. Are we at the point, Dan, where it's pretty likely that LeBron ends up leaving to try to find the next spot that he could win a title? Because, at least from what I've seen, it seems like this Cleveland roster has been played out, and now the best option for him is to go try to find a different spot where maybe he can write another chapter to what has been a very storied career in his basketball tenure.
Absolutely. And if he's really looking to compete for another NBA championship, I think he has to go, and he knows that. I think he knows. You look at Cleveland's cap situation. They don't really have much to work with this offseason. And, you know, because of that, if I'm LeBron, I'm looking at Philadelphia, Houston, as my two premier options to go to in free agency. You know, with Philadelphia, you have a young, blossoming club who made strides this past year, and it looks ready to continue to make strides with Simmons entering his second year in the league, and Simmons entering the second, you know, real full season of playing time in basketball. And obviously Houston was a title contender this season, and they'll have to do some reshuffling on the roster if they want to, if they can afford, you know, LeBron to, you know, come in and be a part of that roster. But either way, either situation is extremely appealing. With Houston, you are an automatic, you know, top two favorite to win it all, and you know it's almost essentially it's a taking down of Golden State that will make your chances at that title extremely high. And with Philly, you're staying in the East, and obviously the East has not been good over the past few years, and you don't have to go through Golden State to get to the finals, or Houston, which I'm guessing is going to be primed to make a run at guys like Paul George, or even Kawhi Leonard if they can't attract LeBron to the area. So I do believe that tonight's going to be LeBron's last one in Cleveland, at least for a while. I'm not sure, you know, what his thought process would be if he'd want to return there for a final season, just to kind of put a cap on his career. But regardless, whatever he does, I believe he will probably sign a two-year contract with a 1 year player option following his first contract year. So I'm really looking forward to this offseason. It's gonna be absolutely crazy with Durant, LeBron, and then being free agents, and then guys like Kawhi, and just playing others that. Stars that will be on the trade block, or you know, definitely be in the mix of calls throughout the phones of NBA executives. It's gonna be crazy.
Well, as long as they're not using burner accounts, I think everything will work out just fine. That is a perfect segue into the next topic that we just have to discuss here today. We got resolution in the Brian Colangelo situation, Burnergate, as I have been calling it. Colangelo and the 76ers agreeing to part ways earlier this week, although I think it was more of a situation where Colangelo was given the opportunity to resign, or the 76ers were going to fire him. So he was given the opportunity for the graceful exit, but we hear that his wife now is the one who was behind all of the burner accounts, and that she acted in a way to try to come to the defense of her husband, and that Colangelo was not involved himself, and that he didn't release any of the information that was being disseminated on these accounts. But my question there, if he wasn't the one saying it, where was it coming from? And that, I think, is going to be one of the great cover-ups of our time in the NBA, if we don't end up finding out how that information was disseminated. But really, back to just the story itself, Dan, this is going to go down as one of the most bizarre NBA stories that I think we have seen in quite some time, and probably one of the weirdest that we will see for a longer time after.
The only solution I can think of Colangelo's wife knowing all that inside information is that She's obviously an NBA insider, right? she's got to be right up there with Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN. That is, I mean, the information that she put out there with Okafor's injury, Noel's poor attitude, and also medical history, and Fultz, and then of course Embiid being the personality he is, and just all the background information that was included in those tweets that obviously no fan would ever have any knowledge of, because most of it was behind the scenes information, and then if it wasn't, it was completely opinion based. Obviously, that's one smart wife following the NBA at an extreme. Obviously, it wasn't smart because it lost her husband the job. So I take that back. But she's obviously plugged in to the NBA scene at a heavy rate. The Philadelphia 76ers fans who were not, you know, who weren't pleased with the way the team was trending, which is pretty ridiculous because the team is trending the correct direction. But you know, fans that were unsure that Colangelo could take him to the promised land and really enjoy Hinkie's work in Philadelphia, they will be buying Ben Dietrich, the guy who wrote the story from The Ringer, a beer for the rest of his life in that city. Ben Dietrich will never have to pay for a beer in the city of Philadelphia. I can guarantee you that. I mean, I can't even imagine writing an article that gets an NBA executive canned. That is just, I mean, that is probably the pinnacle of, it would be the pinnacles of one's journalism career, I would say. To do something like that and to go so heavy on the investigation, it was pretty phenomenal by Ben from The Ringer. And just reading it, all the inside the stories and how they emailed the 76ers, I believe it was their PR department, and how they said they believe that these two burner accounts were or if they were at all associated with Colangelo, and then having the three others that they also knew and thought that they might have been associated with Colangelo but didn't say about that in the email, have the fact that those went private right after the email. It's just a fascinating investigation. And of course, this is all hilarious because we're talking about, you know, a game of that. It's not serious it's not like a crime like a CSI investigation. I mean, it kind of acted, you know, that way, but overall it was definitely a representation of Colangelo's wife and probably Colangelo's as well on Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Hinkie, and how he or she felt that they needed to back themselves up on Twitter, you know, kind of clapping back at fans who were trashing or not pleased with Colangelo's tenure in Philadelphia. Overall, it was just a crazy story. And for all the crazy stories the NBA had this season with the Bulls incident, the Bulls incident this year, with the punching in the faces, and then obviously the Colangelo one, it just sits on top of the rest, and it's just a testament to how interesting the story is. Just a crazy development that happened.
Well, and just a couple of things just to kind of add to what you said there, Dan. the fact that you have to have all of these things, when you're putting a story like this together, you have to have all of these things fall into place at once. And I believe this all started with just an anonymous person on Twitter alerting him to the fact of, hey, you should check out these accounts. There are some weird things going on. They all seem to be connected. So if not for getting that sort of a tip on Twitter, the article may never have come together. And
absolutely, yeah.
And so there's that. And then I think one of the other weird NBA stories this year that I wanted to bring up, and I think that may be the one that you were trying to reference, is the Magic Tunnel in the Clippers and Rockets when they got into a heated altercation during one of their regular season games, and then Chris Paul led a contingent of Rockets players through a secret tunnel that he knew about from his days playing with the Clippers that went right to their locker room. So that's another one that happened this year that is just bonkers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one thing the NBA has over the other professional sports leagues in the U.S. is just the drama aspect and the fact that there's all these off-season, there's all these in-season storylines and off-season storylines. We saw a few years ago when I believe it was with the Clippers center, DeAndre Jordan, he just had signed, he was just going to sign a max contract with the Dallas Mavericks, but he might have signed the max contract. He was a restricted free agent, and what I believe that happened is that Griffin locked Jordan inside of his house. They essentially kidnapped him.
Yep.
And obviously, if you're a Mavericks fan, you're extremely angry, and it was just the Clippers pretty much kidnapped him from joining the Dallas Mavericks, and obviously it didn't work out for anyone. I mean, if anything, it worked out for the Mavericks that they don't have, you know, him making max money on that contract when they're just about to enter rebuild. So if anything, it helped the Mavericks, and the Clippers obviously have dismantled most of that core besides Jordan. So just one of the crazy storylines from the past, and that's definitely one area the NBA has going, right now. It's just the multitude of storylines and fascinating developments that occur throughout the year.
Well, and just to expand upon that that DeAndre Jordan Dallas Mavericks story, because that is hands down one of my favorites, other than this burner account mess. I believe Mark Cuban was driving around trying to find where DeAndre Jordan was, and the Clippers, like you said, the Clippers kidnapped him so that he didn't end up signing, and they were able to convince him to re-sign with the Clippers. And needless to say, Mark Cuban was livid. And I don't know. Obviously, you don't get the opportunity to talk to players very much, other than like when they would come to play, like in Dallas with DeAndre Jordan, for instance. I don't know if Mark Cuban and DeAndre Jordan have spoken since, and probably rightfully so, but at the same time, it's just, it's incredible the amount of things that can happen in just this one league, and that is definitely one of the reasons that the NBA continues to be relevant, is because they can just keep churning out these storylines and people keep following them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And the season's going to end tonight or probably very soon, but the storylines will not end. They will be extremely ongoing throughout these next few months. And you know, it's crazy because even the storylines are maybe most relevant come the off season when we don't have much basketball to watch, and because of that, the developments for free agency and trades can, you know, illuminate, and they can even develop further because they, you know, when someone feeds us, you know, a little bit of, you know, a chicken on the on a bone, in the offseason when we don't have much basketball to watch, we're gonna gnaw on that bone for a while. so it's gonna be fascinating, and I'm just excited to see what happens with LeBron, Grant, and Paul George come you know, couple weeks from now.
Yeah, it's all gonna hit the fan at the same time. So there will be plenty of to talk about. And on that note, I think, Dan, we are gonna save. There was one topic we're gonna get to here today, but I think we'll save it for next week. That being a look at some potential free agent options for the Timberwolves. I think we'll save that for next week. But before we go, over at On the Prowl, I will do a little shameless plug for myself. Had a chance to take a look at some potential trades that the Timberwolves could look at, but I did so with the help of NBA 2K 18 using their simulation options and also computer trades, and came up with a couple of interesting options. So listeners can check that out at On the Prowl. Anything else, Dan, that we can expect over the next week or so over at On the Prowl?
Yeah, I have a piece coming out this next week on potential free agents that the Wolves could throw the mid-level exception at, and most, if not all, are going to be wing players, 3-and-D, you know, wings who can help the Wolves and can be backups to Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins. So I will have a piece on that. You know, it's I believe it's a pretty relevant and an important part of the offseason, considering they don't have much to work with, and the mid-level exception is, you know, probably, if, you know, it's the only contract or money they can give out this offseason that can be a true part of the rotation. And so that's going to be interesting. And then Jake Painting, another one of our writers on the Prowl, is going to have a piece coming out this next week on prospects, college prospects who the Wolves, you know, could select at number 20 if available. So that's kind of what we got coming out on the Prowl.
Outstanding. Some great content. For the listeners that haven't checked it out yet, make sure to head over to On the Prowl to check things out. Dan, we appreciate you coming on the show today, as always, to talk a little NBA. In this case today, we'll, as mentioned, talk about some Timberwolves options in free agency as we start to push throughout the offseason when we talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Seth. Thanks.